Good morning, church, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I know it's not the beginning, but we are still in the beginning. I hope most of you, if not all of you, had a good start. Although this may mean different things for each one of us. We can still have a good start in the midst of suffering, in the midst of loss, in the midst of troubles. And it's never too late to have a better start. Before we are going to open up God's Word, and today basically I'm going to build on the foundation, a very good foundation that Andy already laid before us last Sunday. We will stay in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We agreed to do that, although initially I said I'm not going to cover at all from the portion of the text Andy preached. I think we will look back a little bit and then we'll carry on, but with a whole different approach. I wonder, as we look ahead to this year, 2025, do you have any specific expectations? I mean, I've taught you so many times to lay aside our expectations and to see God's expectations, but we are humans. We still have certain expectations. How many of you expect to be a better year? I mean, praise the Lord. I'm not going to place any words in your mouth, but I'm sure you have certain expectations. However, if we are to use only one word, I'm sure each one of you think differently. Can we say it out loud? One word that may describe this new year, the way you look at it, the way you read news, listen to news about what may come. What would be one word? Hope. Hope. Victory. I mean, we are in Joshua chapter 1. If you pay attention last Sunday and what I said earlier from what I'm going to preach, well done, Phyllis. Well done. Any other word? Encouragement, says Yvonne. Faithful. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faith. True? Which one? Confidence. Confidence in the Lord. Absolutely. No matter what. He is our source of strength and confidence. Transition? I mean, again, we are in Joshua. Joshua is about transition. It is a book of transition from the beginning. That's all about. Transition from old to new, and we are at the beginning of a new year. From one system to another, from one leader to another. And as you listen to the news, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I spend very little time listening. I read what I want from very carefully selected sources. And sometimes I also listen, but again, from very carefully selected sources. But most people speak about, yes, it's going to be a tough year. And it's going to be a transitioning year. A lot of people expect to be an economical collapse, a year of recession, maybe even depression. And we need to be prepared for that. Transition in the political landscape, political approach. You know, it's going to be a huge transition in the United States, probably here in the UK soon, and throughout Europe. Lots of transition. Our church is going to go through some transition too. We are looking forward and with enthusiasm when, you know, finally Alex may move. Will move, not may. Will, certainly. Move and be with us, perhaps May or June, we'll see. So it's going to be a small transition in the team. You know, he's coming to serve alongside. But that brings some change, a good change. But in general, transitions are never easy. They come with uncertainty, discomfort, and the need to adapt. A need to adapt, which sometimes we don't like it. Yet they also carry the potential for growth and new beginnings. And as I said, Joshua is a huge transition book, if you like. We will soon look from the verses that Andy covered, verses 1 to 9 in chapter 1, but I'm going just to read a few verses that were not read last Sunday. Open up your Bible if you like, and my friends from the tech, if they could, project on the wall. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. And I'm going to read just two verses, 10 and 11. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, pay attention, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan to go into take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Elaine and the team already prepared this message very well, although she didn't know exactly what I'm going to preach. And the second song we sang, we are standing on the promises of God. Prepare what I'm going to preach. And she already launched a challenge for me to approve what she said or to correct what she said. Well, it's somewhere in between, depending how we are counting and which Bible translation. But as we look closer to original, there are 8,810 promises in the entire Bible. And all these cover God's promises, man's promises, and pay attention, even the devil has some promises. So within these 8,810, there are some that we don't care about. Let them aside. If you just need a hint, think of the book of Job, for instance. He stood before God and said, you know, I promise you, Job will fail in this. Praise the Lord. His promise is never fulfilled. But among these, there are about 7,500 promises of God to humanity, all kinds. We will need more than a year just to cover all of them. Huge promises. And we sang that I'm standing on the promises of God. He is going to fulfill each one of them in our lives. It cannot be 30,000, you know why? Because the whole Bible has in between 30,000 and 31,000 verses. So that was the confusion there, depending on the translation. So out of 30,000 plus Bible verses, we have more than 7,000, around 500 promises of God. Now, the focus of today's sermons will be a shift from the foundation that Andy already laid on last Sunday and preparing us for action, building on top of it. From the promises we've just discussed to the preparation we have to do in order to embrace, inherit those promises, live by them every single day. But I'm going to quickly just look back, and if you care about the title, I'm pretty sure today's sermon will be in two parts. It's already obvious. So today and next Sunday, I'm going to cover what I believe may be God's call for CLC in 2025. His call for us as a church in 2025. A call to walk in victory. A call to walk, who said, by faith. A call to walk in preparation. A call to stand on God's promises. But these are not my main subject now, main point. The first one is a call to let the past go. For many of us, including for myself, last year was really a tough year. I mean, the last 4 years, at least, since 2020 especially. Pandemic, recovering after a pandemic, all sorts of challenges. Very tough years. Many of us have maybe experienced wounds, disappointments. We heard already loss, and trouble and suffering. There is a call for us at the beginning of this new year to let the past go. We read in Joshua 1:2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Although that is tough, move on. Now, we cannot just easily go over this. Can you just imagine what those people lived, how they experienced the loss of Moses? I mean, Moses, yes, he was criticized, sometimes rejected. Who is Moses? Only through him God speaks. However, he was someone. You don't meet Moses every day. He's one of a kind. He's the one that God used with strength and power to take them and lead them out of Egypt. Through his hands, God did miracles. God worked through his hands. And his hands are no more. These people haven't just lost a man, a leader. But with his loss, they lost direction. They lost compass. Didn't know where to go. I mean, 40 years had passed. They wandered through the wilderness, yes, because of their disobedience. And Moses had to suffer with them because of them. 40 years, something that God never planned for them. And they are now finally approaching the promised land. Almost a new generation, just a few from the old guys. Full of enthusiasm. Finally, we are going to inherit the land. And with Moses, we are going to enter in this new, abundant, promised land. And one day, Moses goes on the mountain, as he used to do. He was notoriously known to spend quite a lot of time with God on top of the mountain. I mean, just imagine your pastor. One day tells you, like today, I'm telling you, you know, tomorrow I'm going somewhere afar to spend some time with God. And you will say, yeah, that's good, Daniel. Just go ahead, go pray, spend time with God. Because when you come from a meeting with God, you have something to share with us. Go. But next Sunday, I'm not here. Where is he? Well, he said he's going, but Andy has to step in. The following Sunday, Daniel is not here. Mark has to step in. 40 days. He's notoriously known for disappearing and appearing again. Sometimes he's, you know, once his face shone. Okay, he's doing it again. He's on the top of the mountain. We will manage somehow. Let's wait and wait and wait and wait. And Moses is not coming back. He died. What are we going to do? A new pastor? No way. I mean, yeah, we knew he's preparing Joshua. I mean, Alex is coming, whatever. But now, I mean, I'm not suggesting anything, by the way. Take it easy. I'm not suggesting anything. I like to immerse in the story. It wasn't easy for them. It wasn't. How long shall we expect? One more day. Maybe he's coming. Until the Lord has to come and say, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's not coming. Don't wait anymore. It's a time of transition. It's a time to let the past go. Good or bad. You are going to enter into a new season. A new season of leadership. A different approach. A lot of changes. I'm going to refer to some of them soon. But Moses' legacy was so great. He was a prophet unlike any other, a leader who brought Israel not just out of Egypt, but through the wilderness. Through him, God brought the law, all that system of sacrifices, all those things that actually were a foreshadow of what Christ had to do. And God himself said, there will be no other like him. He was one of a kind. But even he is no more, God's plan, God's vision, God's agenda for his people is not finished. Ministry, service, God's plan never, never centered in one person. One man is gone. They have to carry on. We often carry baggage from our past. And because of time, I really don't want to mention anything, but I need just to pause a little bit and invite you to reflect and think. What sort of baggage you carry that God calls you today to let go? Let go. In order to be prepared for what he is about to do this year in our lives as individual and as a church. I had to stand before God at the beginning of this year and say, Lord, what do I have to abandon? And I think I've got a few clear messages. Let it go. In order to move on freely, in victory, ready to possess those things that God promised. Let it go. Think, not just now, but think throughout the day and make sure you are willing to do that. After you abandon those things, there is a call to arise and move forward. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. In the same verse. You know, there is a time to be still before the Lord, and that is commendable. But there is no time to be still and passive when it's about to inherit, to embrace, to walk in God's promises. Now arise, stand still before the Lord and be ready for action when it comes to take, embrace, inherit what he promised. Standing still was not an option for Israel at this point. They were called to cross the River Jordan and claim their inheritance. Similarly, God's call us to rise and act in faith. And in passing, because I have so many points actually, I want to have here briefly three sub-points. There is a danger of stagnation. And as we look, I would say in the whole Western world, the Church of God had been stagnant for too long. Stagnant for too long. Yes, praise the Lord, the Church of God is growing and expanding. But on the other side of the world, where is persecution? and a lot tougher to live than in our own context. And yet there, in Asia, in Africa, the church expands and grows. Maybe we turn to be a little bit too comfortable. We develop what we often refer to a consumerism attitude. We come to church just to receive, just to consume. But we are called to do much more. Embrace the change. Yes, we don't like it. Change? No, we don't love it. But in reality, everything changes. Our own body goes through a tremendous change every single year. Do you know that every 7 years we have new cells, completely new cells? We have a brand new body every single phase of 7 years. Absolutely everything is brand new. For me, I mean, this year as well is a time of transition, even in my age. I'm approaching 49. In the middle of the year, and then I'm heading towards. Oh. It's a huge change. I mean, next year, by the will of God, 50? It's, you see, a transition. We have to prepare for that. Some of you overcome it, praise the Lord. Give me advice after that. But embrace change, and there will be a lot to be said about this change. And there are personal challenges. Just as Israel needed to rise and cross the Jordan, God challenged us to step out in faith, trusting Him to lead us into victory. Didn't know exactly how they are going to do it. I mean, just think again. 40 years, absolutely, they depended fully on God, which is good. But they truly developed this attitude of laziness and passivity, would you say? I mean, even their food came just from sky. Oh, I don't need to work. We don't, you know. They came out of Egypt as slaves. In Egypt, they were fed by the hand of Pharaoh. Even in Egypt, they got it, you know, they had to work hard for Pharaoh and, you know, their cucumbers, whatever, they were good. They didn't have to be responsible about cultivating land and all these things. What are we going to do in the wilderness? You know, where are those carrots and cucumbers? Don't worry, I will provide. And all they had to do every morning to collect the manna from heaven. That sustained their life entirely for 40 full years. Now it's about to change the whole system. What do you do what used to work when what used to work doesn't work anymore? What do you do? I mean, for 40 years, everything worked just perfect. Suddenly, without any announcement, without anyone prophesying, oh, prepare, things will change. Suddenly, God changed His approach. We read in chapter 5, in verse 12, after they enter in Canaan, verse 12 says, and the manna ceased. It may not seem any bit profound, four words. And the manna ceased. That's massive. You've been used with that for 40 years. And then suddenly, what used to work doesn't work anymore. What used to go for you provision, sustenance, doesn't work anymore. You have to find new ways. It's a massive change. More than that, we know that through the wilderness, they enjoyed the guidance of God through two things. The pillar, the cloud, and the pillar of fire. God led them. It was so obvious for them. Okay,
or get ready.
The pillar is moving. The cloud is moving. They knew exactly when to act and what to do because it was obvious. Now the Holy Spirit is still there, but acting in a new way, preparing them to become responsible. It's a huge transition, listen to what I'm saying now, between being dependent but irresponsible into being interdependent with God and responsible. In this interdependency, they had to obviously still depend on God, but they have to do certain things too. They had to act. They had to fight. They had to cultivate the land. So once again, what do you do when what used to work doesn't work anymore? Think, pause, and think. Maybe in your marriage, in your financial life, in ministry. Sometimes God wants change. And He allows a crisis in order to push us, sometimes even giving us a kick. Yeah, sorry, but God does that sometimes in order to move forward. We don't like changes, we don't like challenges. I'm going to move into the latter part of the text, but I have to focus a little bit on verse 3. A call to claim the promises of God. We just heard that. But here in this verse, I know Andy really laid out a very good theological foundation, how these promises were made to Abraham and so on. But there is a little bit more to unpack. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. And you'll see here how that interdependency works. God reminds Joshua that the land of Canaan is already theirs by promise. It belongs to them. It was promised to Abraham. It belongs to them by promise. But it's not yet in their hands. They don't have the title deeds. Because they have to do something. Every place, the sole of your foot. I mean, God promised. It's the only country in the world. I know it's a lot of debate, and I don't want to go into this political Palestine thing. But it's the only country in the world that God set the borders. Not human. It's obvious, it's there. Yet the borders are not there in reality as they were promised by God. Do you know in reality how much God promised and how much they inherit, conquered, taken possession? What might be the difference? Just give me some answer. They took 10%. Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly correct. When you measure this piece of land that, as it was promised by God to Abraham, should be around 300,000 square miles. 300,000 square miles. In reality, Israel has today 30,000 square miles. Because they didn't do what they're supposed to do here. The story of Israel's possession of the promised land offers us profound lessons on the relationship between faith and the spiritual victory. You see, God promised Abraham and his descendants a vast territory stretching from the Nile River to Euphrates. But their incomplete conquest, recorded in Judges 1, verse 27 to 36, resulted from disobedience and lack of faith. And that leads us to a question. Out of those 8,810 promises of God, how many you live out or live by? I mean, we don't know them by heart anyway. Before Christmas, I preached a lot on this call to forgive and experience forgiveness. And then on Christmas Day, especially in the evening, I expanded on 1 hour about the promise of peace. Promise of peace. We all long for peace. How many of you live in peace right now? Total, full, abundant peace. Peace with God, peace with yourself, inner peace, peace with others. Did you claim that promise? One single promise. Do you have the peace that passes all understanding? Do you have peace when you think ahead this year? Do you have peace when you are about to meet with a person? Think about. Do you tremble? Do you sweat? I'm going to meet. Would you say, okay, I'm going to meet with whatever. We didn't talk for 10 years, 20 years. But now I have peace. I'm not avoiding. Claim it. Claim it by faith. You see, every piece of land that the sole of your feet, it was promised. God could do the same miracle as he often does it. You know, it's yours. Everyone gone. All people go from this land. Empty, complete, for 300,000 square miles. Out. He could create a famine, what a disaster. Go, out. When my people come, nobody should be in the land. Easy. God could do it. I said, no. It's tough. I know it's a lot of discussion. I'm not aiming to cover this hard topical subject. Why God sent them to kill people and stuff. It's tough. But I had to fight in order to experience victory and to inherit the land. You have to fight to have peace. Fight with the tendency of not forgiving. Fight with the tendency of being greedy, unhappy with what you have. Fight with the tendency of not being thankful. Because when you are not thankful and when you are not expressing your gratitude, of course you don't have peace. You are always in lack. Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. In our church, this is missing. Daniel is not doing this. The trustees are not doing that. Oh, the worship team. Always is lack. Always there is an issue. All you can see are problems. You don't see the blessings. What if tomorrow, when you wake up, you will only have the things you thank God today? Think about that. What if God one day will decide that you'll only have those things that you thank today? Tomorrow, if you haven't thanked for your wife, husband, children, parents, and, well, I mean, there are no more. Water, basic food. I guarantee if you are giving it a second chance, you'll be very thankful next day. Do that today and see how God may multiply what you have. See how God will make things work just because you were thankful and you choose to be blind to those that are not as you expect to be. But just focus on the others and see how God does some miracles. You see, in the New Testament, in Matthew 7:7, we have this verse. I'm going to read actually two and one in John. Ask and it will be given to you. And this is because Yvonne already challenged us. You know, it's God's word, which I'm going to tackle soon or next Sunday, but prayer as well. If you don't have, okay, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. You see, don't just complain. Act. You haven't yet possessed that promise. You know, there is another piece of land. Don't complain. Oh, I haven't. Though those are too tough for me to go and fight. No. In that area, I'm not going. It's too difficult. No. Act. Ask. Knock. Push, if need be. Fight in order to claim the promises of God. By the way, promises of God. Not all of your desires. Make a huge distinction. Lord, tomorrow I want a Ferrari, you know. My son, no. Be happy. Be happy with what you have. I may give you a Land Rover later on, you know. Be happy. Act on the promises of God. Stand on them. And in 1 John, no, this is John 5, 14, 15. I don't know why I put first. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Please try. I think it is 1 John 5, 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked him. Yeah, that's it. So faith is the key to unlock the fullness of God's promises. To conclude with this idea, in the New Testament again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus, when he speaks about being the shepherd, the good shepherd, and he comes to offer life, he says that, I came to give you life, to offer life. But not just life, abundant life, abundant life. Claim it. If we live this sort of dry faith, dry Christianity, wimp sort of faith, God is calling us to claim the abundant life he promised. This is only beyond Jordan. And Jordan, my friends, theologically speaking, is not death. I know there are some old hymns, you know, when we cross the Jordan and we go into Canaan, just the eternal life. No! When we look at these passages, we have to see them as they are. Egypt, yes, represents the world. Wilderness represents God's discipline upon us when we disobey him. Canaan is the abundant life we have in Christ here on earth. And here is clear. Every place that the sole of your feet will step on, right? You will have it. You are not going to fight in heaven. You are not going to do anything, not by works, to receive what is there. It is the abundant life here on earth. Canaan can be yours if you claim his promises by faith. Have confidence in the Lord. Just with that, and I'm finished, and I leave God's word for next Sunday and carry on into the latter part of the chapter. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's a promise of God to Joshua, found in verse 5. You see, no man shall stand against you. Be able. I promise that. But you will discover that only when you are willing to stand against them. If you don't take courage to stand against them, I'm not going to fulfill my promise that no one shall be able to stand against you. Take courage. That's why three times in the text, there is a call to courage. I will unpack this next Sunday. So God's promise to Joshua at least five here. Victory over every enemy. The presence and the power of God with you. God's faithfulness. What I promise I will fulfill if you do your part. Absolute victory, not partial victory. Absolute victory. Fulfillment of every promise. All these five are applicable to us today. When we battle against human flesh, when we battle with sin, when we battle with anything in the spiritual life, let's put it this way. We are called not to face human blood and flesh, but the enemies. And if we brace ourselves for that, God promised He's going to give us victory. Are you ready for it? Are you? Truly? Praise the Lord. But be ready for a year of transition. From stagnancy, from comfort, from defeat, from apathy, into action. Ready to claim. Ready to do something. Because God is calling us to that. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. We're going to end this morning with a very old-fashioned song that you'd sing in churches. And I thought it was perfect for the beginning, our first Sunday back. If you're not embarrassed, I'm not forcing anyone, but it's one of them songs where, David, I'm sorry, but I'm going to hold your hand. And I want us to try and sing Holding Hands if you want to. I'm not going to force anyone to. But it's such a beautiful song. The words mean, well, you'll see. Let's stand and sing this beautiful song. And let's mean what we sing as well. And remember what we've heard today.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us.